Welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio. I am your host, Cami Gellner. Women are being called to lead with voice, vitality, and vigor. Each week, join me for wisdom-filled interviews with extraordinary women living out loud and making a difference in our world. Their stories will uplift, inspire, and spark your own purpose-driven journey. Hello, my extraordinary women friends. We all have tender, broken parts inside that have formed within us due to grief. It's one of those things that's just unknown in this lifetime. Today, we're going to speak to Dr. Sherry Walling, a clinical psychologist who serves women entrepreneurs. Sherry became a reluctant expert in grief. After losing her father to cancer and her brother to suicide within 6 months, she embarked on a journey to explore pathways to wholeness in the aftermath of loss. She shares her story today and her wisdom on grief. Her company, Zen Founder, helps entrepreneurs and leaders navigate transition, rapid growth, loss, conflict, or any manner of complex human experience. She hosts the Zen Founder podcast, which has been called a must-listen by both Forbes and Entrepreneur Magazine and has been downloaded more than 1 million times. Her best-selling book, The Entrepreneur's Guide to Keeping Your Shit Together, combines the insight and warmth of a therapist with the truth-telling mirth of someone who has been there. Let's tune in to Dr. Sherry Walling. Well, welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio, Sherry. It is great to have you here today.
It's wonderful to be with you. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah. So you were just sharing that you were here in Colorado doing a TEDx this weekend. Congratulations.
Thank you. It was a really phenomenal experience. It's, you know, I have long loved TED Talks and, you know, to the TEDx program to be able to bring people together around ideas. So the opportunity to give one myself felt pretty extraordinary. It was really special.
Yeah, totally. And what was your talk title?
My talk title was Why a Grieving Psychologist Joins the Circus. So I told the story of my own experience with grief and reflected on one of the things that has been most helpful to me, which is jumping into a really significant movement practice of being an aerialist, which is, you know, when you think of like Cirque du Soleil and the fabrics that come down from the ceiling and they're like climbing up and spinning down. That's what I've learned to do in the context of my own grief journey.
Oh, wow. Wow. And so that I totally can envision what that, you know, what that type of movement is. And what was it about that kind of movement that really, you know, helped you set free or move through the grief?
Yeah. You know, to be honest, I think at the beginning, it was the difficulty of it, right? It's a lot of compression on your body because the fabric is wrapping around maybe the center of your body or your arms and legs. And it's a lot of holding on. So I think the intensity of the movement sensation really drew me in at first because it kind of matched what I was feeling inside. Some disorientations, just out of my skin, felt upside down, felt, you know, in chaos. And so to have this practice where I could go into some of those feelings and let them move through my body, but then eventually over time, come to a place of a little more cohesion, a little more ease, where I knew how to make my way up the fabric and I knew how to use it in a way that could help me create something beautiful without feeling so much pain or discomfort.
Wow. 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 Wow.
Kind of a grief story, right?
Yeah, totally. Totally. And I can see the transformation that, you know, you're moving through as you felt more comfortable in that space and how it could really mirror back the feelings and the emotions of grief. What was your personal story that brought you to this mission around grief?
Yeah. So I lost my dad to esophageal cancer in 2018. And then 6 months after he died, I lost my brother to suicide. So I had this sort of double combination of loss and was in a phase of my life where I was feeling very much alive, raising children, building a business, very sort of in my life. And so through these losses, had this kind of unexpected opportunity, we'll say in quotes, to dive into this world of illness and people falling apart and my brother's struggle with addiction and with mental health issues. And then, of course, ultimately death and then grief became a big part of my story. So I had to learn how to go back and forth between those places.
And grief is a part of so many of our stories. I mean, it's certainly, I lost my father in 2008, and that was at a time where I made a big transition out of the corporate world into being an entrepreneur. And then I lost my sister 5 years ago, just about 5 years ago. And it's, you know, it's deep, deep grief around that. And I know I still process some of that grief around missing my sister. And, you know, I mean, that one's really fresh for me still, even though it's, you know, just 5 years still away, but it's like, it's really fresh for me still. I can feel right back into it really easily.
I don't think grief exists in linear time, you know, and I think that's in some ways the mistake that we make around grief, because culturally we sort of think, oh, you take a couple days off, you maybe are not quite yourself for a few weeks, and then you get back at it. And no one grieves like that, first of all. Secondly, I think we have some weird sense around timelines and timing related to grief. Like if it's been this long, then you should feel a certain way. And I think grief is super nonlinear, right? Like maybe a week after my dad died, I was laughing and having a wonderful time playing with my kids. And then at the year mark after his death, I was plummeted to this sort of depth of sadness again. So it just doesn't follow a linear trajectory.
Yeah, that's so true. So true. So how has this, you know, I know this has tremendously shaped what you want to stand for, what you've written a book about it recently. You've written a book called Touching Two Worlds, A Guide for Finding Hope in the Landscape of Loss, which is new for you. What happened for you as you wrote that book? How did it impact your business? I mean, there's a lot of different ways we can go with this, but how has this shaped you and what you want to bring into the world?
I think it has given me a deeper regard for these painful parts of our lives and what they have to teach us. In my day job, I work with entrepreneurs. So I work with like the movers and the shakers of the world who are building things, who make things happen, right? They're an amazing community of people to serve. And many of them carry deep grief from some corner of their lives or another. And so I think the message I've always had is, hey, let's pay attention to that. Let's learn from it. Let's look at it. But my own grief has been a, you know, sort of this laboratory study in how to do that. And so this book is using my personal experience, my training as a clinical psychologist, and interweaving in these simple practices that help us learn how to hold very dear these tender, broken, hurt parts of us, and to not see them as liabilities, but to see them as great teachers, to see them as something that has the power to deepen us and to help us to be sort of the best version of human that we can be.
So I know you used movement as part of your journey of healing. What else came into play there that you really learned from?
Well, certainly writing.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that I've written a book about it is because I was writing so much about it, which, you know, whether it's writing or verbally expressing, it's the attention to our painful experiences that I think is important. The given time to express, the given time to sit with and listen to. So writing is a wonderful tool in that way. I mean, therapy is essentially that tool, except you're doing it out loud in the presence of another person. Being in community with other people who are grieving, you know, the club of the heartbroken is incredibly helpful.
Right, right. So how has this shaped your business? How has this, you know, you're working with entrepreneurs, but how has this really shaped how you work with your clients?
I think it's really shaped my relationship with my clients. You know, I trained as a clinical psychologist. And so from that model, there's quite a lot of distance between the helper and the one being helped. And that has kind of all gone away now. You know, my clients know that I'm a griever too. They know that I've had my own pain and my own trauma. And so I think that allows for a kind of collaboration and a closeness that I've found to be really valuable, but is a little bit different than how it was in the past.
Very good. So in what ways was grief different than what you thought? I mean, I even think about growing up as a young girl, my relationship with grief was like, you know, pull up your boots and move on, right? Kind of, that was kind of the mentality that we looked at grief as a young girl. How has it shifted for you?
Yeah, I really feel like grief is something to not rush. And I think that's that sense of this timeline, you know, that we alluded to earlier, that you're talking about with the pick yourself up and just keep going. There's this pressure to
There is a pressure for
be okay. You're okay, right? Of course you're okay. And I think what I learned is that there's, yes, you're okay, but in rushing to this externally pressured sense of okayness, we miss the depths, and the depths have so much to offer. So I feel very clear about abandoning any kind of timeline. I feel very clear about abandoning a false sense of a front which says I'm not hurting or I'm fine or I need help. I think the thing that really most impacted me, and it's where the title of the book comes from, is that both can be true at the same time. This idea of touching two worlds or being two worlds at one place at one time.
Basically, you've got your life you're living, but then you've also got this other side that is where the grief lives.
Yeah, like I can be in grief. I can immerse there. I can be fully present with those that I love that are dying and falling apart. And at the same time, sometimes in the same moment, I can also be in joy. I can also be building a life that is full of meaning and what matters to me. They are not mutually exclusive. You don't have to abandon your aliveness to the land of grief. You can be in both at once.
That's good. That's really good. How about helping other people that are going through grief? What tips would you give there? What ideas would you give?
I think it's important to remember for folks who have gone through grief, and this is relevant to trauma more broadly, is that something has happened to them that was absolutely beyond their choice or control. So when we are showing up for folk who are in the middle of grief, anything that we can do to restore a sense of choice and control is actually really helpful. So for example, one of the favorite things that somebody said to me in the sort of depths of my own grief was my friend Jamie asked me, she said, would you like to tell me a story about Dave? Dave is my brother. And I love this language. Would you like to, right? It's an invitation. You get to choose. I was in control. And then also, she asked me this very open-ended question. Would you like to tell me a story about him? Not, would you like to talk about how you're feeling, or, you know, tell me more about how he died and what that means to you? Like, it was open-ended enough that I could talk about a time when we were 7, or I could talk about a time, you know, when we were teenagers. The totality of his life was open conversation. And I think that's really a gift to people who are grieving.
Yeah. Do you think grieving well is an important part of living well?
I do, because grief is, I love that you just set me up for that question. Yes, I do. Oh, because grief is so much a part of life for all of us.
Yes, as I think everybody has some form of it somewhere. I mean, it can be small
just
and
by
large,
death,
right?
Yeah.
It's a big G, little G kind of thing.
Totally. And I think especially in my experience watching my brother really implode after the death of our father, he had some risk there before my dad died. But as my dad was getting sicker and dying, I feel like his own grief really exacerbated the pain that he was feeling already and ultimately was one of the factors that contributed to the end of his life. Because grief is huge, but we don't get any training in it. You know, we don't have a lot of early life conversations in a way we shield our children from grief. But it's a pretty core emotional human process that probably deserves a lot more airtime.
So I think that's an interesting concept, even just shielding our children from grief. Is that something that you try to do with your own children, is to shield them from the grief, or is there, tell me more about that. I mean, how do we work with grief with our children, I guess?
You know, it's interesting because there's a lot of death around children. There's a lot of death in children's movies. You know, think of most major motion pictures that are directed towards children involve the loss of a parent or a sibling or someone who is really central to the life of that child. So there's death, but there's not grief. So most children are growing up with an awareness of death, but not an awareness of how emotionally that gets processed within a human. And so I think it's sort of like how we might now in modern parenting talk to our kids about sex, right? It's not a one-time conversation. Having a healthy relationship with one's body, having a healthy relationship with one's ability to consent, all of those things. Those are like lessons now that get sprinkled throughout childhood. And it's many, many conversations at many, many different developmental levels that we want to have in order to empower our children to be able to meaningfully participate in an emotionally complicated human experience. So I think grief is not that different. We want to have lots of little conversations, and that can start with the loss of the goldfish. It can start with the loss that children see in a movie. It can start with these sort of younger, maybe earlier, more accessible versions of loss, that we have these rich conversations about how does one feel with grief? How do we honor those who've passed on? How do we keep them with us? You know, all of the ritual and emotional processing that becomes really important later in life.
Yes, very good. Very good. So you wrote an article in Fortune about how the great grief led to the great resignation. And so tell us more about that.
Yeah, this article was, in reaction to or in dialogue with the many, many people who left their jobs in the sort of latter part of the COVID-19 pandemic. And I think for me, as I watched people make these life changes, I was just so aware of how much grief was driving this new evaluation of what is an important and meaningful use of our time. So because grief gets at the depths, right? It helps us to ask these big existential questions about what's important and what matters. And sometimes it calls us into changing parts of our lives, like how we make a living and how we spend our time.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think the pandemic certainly had people looking back and reflecting that, you know, is this how I want to be living? And those big shifts. I mean, even going back to when my father passed away, that was one of those kind of shifts where it was like, there's something that needs to shift. I wrote a letter to my dad and said, you know, it was basically, here's the things you taught me. And there were so many things that I was disconnected from, that it gave me this strength and this power to say, I'm not doing what I've been doing. It's got to shift. And it takes time and it takes work to do that. But I think that's, our grief can guide us. That's what I'm hearing you say here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So your first book, I'm going to go down the world of entrepreneur space as well, because so many of our listeners are entrepreneurs. Your first book is The Entrepreneur's Guide to Keeping Your Shit Together, How to Run Your Business Without Letting It Run You. What's one tip you have from that?
Ooh, one tip. Sleep. Get a lot of sleep.
Make those choices, right? So that you can sleep.
Well, it's also understanding what your competitive edge is. And your competitive edge in your business is likely some version of your ability to be an effective problem solver, a great communicator, to be creative. Like, it's something that happens that's a neurological process. And the best way to keep your brain fueled well and functioning in the best possible way is to let it rest. So I think it's a very counterintuitive piece of recommendation for a lot of entrepreneurs who really...
I believe it though.
Yeah. Oh yeah. There's all kinds of science behind it.
Right. Right. Totally. That's a good one. So where can people learn more about you, your books, and all the work that you do?
Yeah. So I have a weekly podcast called Zen Founder, which addresses all sort of manner of topics related to entrepreneurship and mental health. And then I'm also online at sherrywalling.com and on Instagram at sherrywalling and Twitter. I'm easy to find on the internet.
Excellent. Excellent. And the final question I always close with are, what three pearls of wisdom would you like to leave with us today?
Be gentle, rest well, and don't be afraid of the depths.
Very good. Very good. Sherry, this has been a pleasure. Thank you for sharing all your good wisdom. And Thank you for writing the book that you've written. I think I'll have to get a copy of that. And thank you for being you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I hope you liked this episode of Extraordinary Women Radio. If you did, please share this podcast with your own special tribe of women and help spread the love, the dreams, and the inspiration. Are you ready to raise up your voice, your visibility, and your business? I invite you to join the conversation in my Facebook group, Extraordinary Women Connect. This group brings together changemaker women entrepreneurs who want to elevate their business or impact. It is a place for powerful connections and collaborations. It is a place to be inspired, uplifted, and fired up for action. To learn more about my work that helps women entrepreneurs make heartfelt connections to mindful growth strategies, visit my website at cammygelner.com. Till next time, my friend, listen to your heart, follow your dreams, and be you.